From In the Beginning to the Musical Apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman, and on today's show I talk with Christian guest Andrew Shatkin. Andrew has a Master's of Divinity degree from Princeton University and is the author of several books. Andrew will attempt to defend his faith against magical trees and biblical law. Most Christians will try to either deflect or distract when presented with tough questions regarding their strongly held beliefs. Many answer with religious mumbo-jumbo that makes sense to no one outside of their theistic bubble. Too often, Christians will repeat what they heard their pastor spew from the pulpit. But what happens when the pastors do not have the answers? What happens when the religious leaders fail to defend their faith? Why would you still believe in something that can't even be defended by those who claim to know it best, by those who have spent decades studying it? Why would you still hold on to those beliefs? At what point do you stop believing in fairy tales? Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
Andrew!
Yeah, who's this?
This is Mike with The Bible Says What?
Yeah, Mike, boy, I'm glad you reached me. I thought we might have disconnected again. It might have been my fault. Hey, I'm glad you called me.
I'm glad to talk to you, sir. Glad to have you back on.
Okay, you said I had the impression we were going to discuss something about atheism and Christian belief, but however you want to do it, go ahead and do it.
Well, would you kindly remind the folks at home about your amazing credentials?
I have a law degree. I also have a Master of Divinity degree in Biblical Studies from Princeton Theological Seminary and several international law degrees. I have written 5 books. Three are Christian books. 2 are law books. And I'm planning more Christian books. The latest book that will be coming out is a book on the parables. And I have other Christian books that I am publishing on the Psalms. And let me say this, that anybody who reads a psalm hears the voice of God in Christ. That's my opinion. Okay. And I'm going to do one on biblical miracles. People who reject the miracles in the Bible are particularly the miracles of Christ, or they have to account for their history and not made up. I mean, nobody's printing big lies that people for 2,000 years have believed. And then I'm doing one on the sayings of Jesus, as well as another law book. These are all in the works, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to say these things to people so that we can share.
Well, I'm glad to have you on, and sounds like a lot of work. Sounds like you're pretty busy.
I'm busy.
Well, I figure we can start with free will, since we kind of didn't get to talk about that.
Right.
I was curious what your stance is on free will.
Well, the thing is, I think you have to, the free will is, let me put it this way. I begin to understand free will when I look at the first and second chapters of Genesis.
Okay.
Where God created man and woman. He put them in this situation they were in, and Satan, and by the way, let me put it this way, he allowed Satan free will. He was right there. And God didn't cut him out, didn't kill him. He allowed him to operate. So Satan, in this choice that he has made to rebel against God and left the precincts of heaven, and the event in Genesis, which I believe to be true, personally, I think it happened.
Okay.
And it brought about a fall into sin and death and sin and whatever the world, the problems of the world exist at this point. But it's quite clear that God allowed Eve the ability to make that decision.
Okay.
And by the same time, he allows us. He let me put it this way, Mike. You can disagree with me. I don't mind. I mean, I'm sure you have something to say to respond to it. But ultimately, God wants relationships with humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus came into our society and world. He wants us to know him. He wants us to have relationships with him. And you can't have a relationship without free will, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us the ability to have free will because he doesn't want robots. He wants people who have the ability to grow and have relationships ultimately with Christ.
He's very adamant about it. Yeah, he's very adamant about it.
It's true.
So if we all get free will, and reading through the Bible, I don't see that we get free will. I see it says we get free will, but I don't actually see it in there. For just a few examples here, we've got Pharaoh gets hardened his heart 4 times in Exodus. And then if we go over to Habakkuk, so Pharaoh did not get free will. He didn't get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahweh says Exodus 9:16, that he raised Pharaoh up for this particular purpose. So that's not really free will.
I see what
Pharaoh.
You're saying.
And then in Habakkuk.
Yeah, I see your point.
He states that not only does he raise up these people, but he raises up these evil people, the Babylonians, who were feared and dreaded and came to bent on violence. So he purposefully appointed these people to execute his judgment in Habakkuk 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really free will either. It's not really free will for the people, the Babylonians, who were raised up for that purpose. They didn't get a choice. Yahweh raised them up for that purpose. And then also the people in the path of the Babylonians really didn't get free will either, because Yahweh sent Babylonians onto them and they did not have a choice in that matter.
I see what you're saying, and I'm listening very carefully to what you say and your reference to these biblical passages. When I have time, I'll check them.
Right.
But I see your perspective here.
So yeah, and then it just doesn't sound like there's free will. And then you mentioned the garden, Satan and the serpent. It's really, that's only mentioned like in the New Testament. That's really not Satan isn't really mentioned at all in Genesis.
I think my recollection is Satan is mentioned several times I'd have to look. I'm recollecting Zechariah and in several other instances of being mentioned. Of course, there is Jesus' temptation in the desert by Satan. That's a very specific reference to Satan.
That one, yeah, that's New Testament, yeah. Yeah. So who put the trees in the garden? Yahweh put
the trees.
Yahweh put the trees in the garden. Correct.
He did. Yeah.
To give us free will.
It's not clear. There's this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's a tree of life, right?
Uh huh.
And the issue is, what is the meaning of the tree of good and evil? It's not clear. But it seems to be when Eve ate of the fruit, she lost her sort of. A kind of relationship with God at that point in the garden that she had.
Why would God put that kind of fruit in the garden in the first place?
If I knew that, I could answer that question, Mike. I don't think I'm capable of answering a question. Why God would do that?
It just doesn't make any sense.
No, you're right.
Yeah. I mean,
I have no idea.
If I put gummy bears. If I put gummy bears laced with poison in the middle of a room with toddlers, and the toddlers gummy bears, I'd be the one at fault, not the kids. So if Adam and Eve
that's a very significant question you raise, is why God would put those trees there to bring about our fall into death and sin and destruction and genocide and killing and whatever people do.
Correct.
I have no idea.
At least it's an honest answer.
I wish I knew.
I appreciate the honest answer.
Okay.
So back to free.
I don't know why people do it. Look, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
Why do you think people do what they do? You know what they do to each other. You know what humanity has a track record of doing some pretty horrible things to other people.
Right. Correct? We've also got a track record of doing some pretty amazing things to other people. So you got good and bad.
But why? There have been in the 20th century six genocides.
Do you think genocides are a bad thing?
Pol Pot. What about, why did Pol Pot do that?
Because he's a disgusting man. I don't know.
But why is it, we talked about this before, you think are good, right?
Well, I think inherently people want to do good. I think inherently people want to help each other out. And we discuss that with homeless shelters, hospitals, you know, free clinics, stuff like that. People do want to help each other out in general. And the fact that we always stop the bad guys with good guys just reiterates that fact. So,
but don't you think, looking at most people, and I'm sure you have a great deal of experience, as more than most people, a lot of people are self-oriented.
Well, yeah. So is Yahweh.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that you can see that fact that most people are mostly self-driven.
See, I don't see that. No, I don't see that most people. Well, I'm not really a psychologist.
I'm being honest. I'm trying to be. neutral about it.
Like I said, you know, basically, when it boils down to it, I believe that people want to do good and people want to help out others. When it boils down to it, at the end of the day. But
well,
why doesn't Yahweh?
I mean, maybe so.
Why,
I don't
does
know.
Yahweh try and help
then
people?
How do you explain the existence of evil?
Well, Yahweh created it.
How do you explain
Isaiah
that?
45:7, I form the light, create darkness, I make peace, and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. If I lived in a Christian world, then I would believe that Yahweh creates evil.
You believe God creates evil?
No, I don't think God, I don't think there is a God. So there's that. But as a theist who believes the Bible to be true, who believes 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God breathed, then Isaiah 45:7 is a true fact that your God creates evil. That's terrible. Why would he create evil? Why would he? Then he puts a garden in the middle of a tree to tempt people to give them free will somehow. I'm not really sure how any of this works. And then, is there free will in heaven? When you get to heaven, do we all get free will there?
Yes, I think people retain their free will. Yes,
okay.
I think so.
So is sinning a cause of free will or an effect of free will?
It is. It's very difficult for me to answer that question because I haven't died yet, and I don't know how much I'm going to function when I get there, if I get there.
Right.
But I can say this. I believe that in heaven, I mean, the Satan and his angels were permitted to leave. They had free will, right?
Where does it say that they were permitted
to leave? He didn't make them stay.
Well, I guess that's true, if that's true.
if you believe that. If you don't, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with people having differing opinions, you know.
True. So if the stories were true, then yes.
I'm just saying that if you believe the biblical narrative that Satan and these group of angels rebelled from mm-hmm. God, not wanting to be under him, mm-hmm. That was the reason given, that they were permitted to leave the precincts of heaven.
Interesting. So free will in heaven, but...
Yeah, I think so. How can any being exist in a... If there is a relationship in heaven between human beings and God and angels, if God wants... I think he wants us to have relationships with him, whether you... You may differ with that. That's fine.
Right.
But I think Christ wants relationships with. He wants us to be transformed in relationship to him. So I say this, yes, in order to have a relationship, in order to be a person, mm-hmm. a fully formed person, that person has to have free will. You can't be a robot.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be very fun.
We would be less than human, right?
Right. Last time we talked, we discussed the Old Testament laws a little bit.
You did, yes, I remember.
Yes, and I brought up the fact that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23.
And yeah, I remember.
Romans 5:20 states that the law was added to increase sinning. So have you given that any more thought?
I think that it is true, the first statement from Romans, what is true that when sin came into the world, we are told that it occurred at the point of the fall, that's what was said happened. You can choose to, you know, reject that or not credit it. It's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happened, I think that did bring about death and suffering and whatever makes this world bad. Yeah. Whatever, or better, but whatever makes this world a mess, that's why it happened. In that fall.
Right, but why would he increase sinning to cause more death?
That is the second passage?
Yeah, the second one, yeah. Because law was added.
That second passage, yeah, so I could grasp it?
Romans 5:20, it states that the law was added so that sinning may increase.
I'm not sure what Paul meant by that, because I have to look at the whole chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I think to this extent, I would comment on it, that the law, first of all, I'm not sure I can answer that question. I really have to look more carefully at it.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
It is very, it's very tough.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Except that we're told that with the advent of Christ, the requirements of the law are no longer applicable. We're told that we are saved by grace and faith in Christ, and we're told that we will not be saved by legal adherence.
Right. But it doesn't say to stop following the laws, though.
No, but we can't really fulfill the law. I mean, because the only way we can attain entrance into God in heaven is through Christ.
Right, but how do you decipher which ones to follow and which ones not to?
Well, Paul seemed to have, at that time, he had a little bit of opposition within the Pharisees on these issues of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And his dispute with them and certain sections of the Jewish community at that time, his dispute with them, they wanted to keep the ritual law. In other words, not eating on the Sabbath or whatever. They faulted him, for example, for, I think, working on the Sabbath or something. I don't remember the passage exactly.
Hmm.
That was one of their disputes with Jesus, that he was abolishing these ritual requirements. And he did. Personally, I think there are other, let me say this, I have nothing against other religious beliefs and traditions, but mm-hmm. people, I respect them. I don't particularly believe them, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many religions such as Hinduism in which they're sort of like these ritual requirements of going to the Ganges and getting washed or something. Or, I wouldn't know, but I think many religions do have these ritual, legalistic requirements. Now, Christianity doesn't. You can walk into a church theoretically in dungarees. You can not go. You can leave early. Whatever. God, our faith doesn't impose legal requirements on people. The only thing that Jesus looks at is, does that person follow me and have a relationship with me? That's all.
Matthew 15:18. Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in heaven. Least in the kingdom of heaven. Sorry.
I think he's saying that in that passage, look, who can know everything? Who can plumb the depths of any word of Christ? But I mean, I think we still have to try to fulfill the law and obey the law. I think he's right.
It doesn't say try. It says anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, which is a terrible idea to begin with. How is heaven a perfect place if you've got least in the kingdom of heaven? You've got an upper and lower class.
Well, that's a very mysterious statement, and I'd really have to look at it and think about it to figure it out.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what confuses me about which Old Testament laws to follow is because Jesus says to follow all of them, not one smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law. He says until heaven and earth disappear, and that won't happen until, you know, Revelations. So
right.
Yeah, and that hasn't.
Well, I don't think the law has been about. I mean, certainly the law. I mean, is something that we should strive to obey in its every aspect. And the issue is that you can't obey it because we're human beings and we are not geared or able to obey every aspect of the moral law. We fail, as Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
So we should still be trying to follow these Old Testament laws?
I think that we should certainly yes. I couldn't say whether the ritual laws are applicable in Leviticus, which is a whole huge list of them.
Yeah, there's quite a bit in there.
The ritual requirements, but certainly the moral law, yeah, we should really make every 100% effort to obey them.
What about this? What about the stoning to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath? What about the stoning to death of children who disobey their parents? I mean, stoning to death for people who try and teach you a different religion.
Was that the Mosaic law? Was that the Mosaic law?
These are in Numbers, so I'm not sure which.
I recall them, but certainly there was a, they did, for the Mosaic law, did stone women caught in adultery. Jesus stopped it.
Well, Yahweh thought it.
That's stoning.
Yahweh thought it was a great idea, though.
What?
Yahweh thought it was a great idea to stone people to death, though, for picking up sticks on this day of rest.
Well, I can't comment on that because I don't know enough about that section to really say much.
Why does Yahweh make the Sabbath holy anyways? Because he needed to rest on the seventh day? Because he had to take a break?
I can't answer the question. I wish I knew why he imposes that Sabbath requirement.
That's crazy.
It's something that I'm not capable of really commenting on or understanding.
Well, at least it's an honest answer, sir. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I appreciate it. All right. Well, just another quick question here. Well, they're not really quick questions, I guess. In Exodus, in the entire Bible, Yahweh never condemns slavery. But at one point in Exodus 20, he tells you to beat your person, your slave. And he says, but if he's not, if you beat your male or female slave with a rod and the slave dies as a direct result, he must be punished, but he's not to be punished if the slave gets up after a day or two, since the slave is his property. This is the way Yahweh thinks. Why did he not condemn slavery? Why did he give them laws condoning it? Not really condoning it, but yeah.
You make a very good point, and the best I can say is that the God or Yahweh works through history, and he, for example, Abraham had a relationship with a slave, Hagar. I mean, so yes, he works through culture and history, and I can say that yes, he didn't condemn slavery or attack it at the time that it was prevalent. That's true.
Right. He should have at least said something, anything, like maybe owning people is not a good idea.
Right.
You know.
Well, that actually slavery continued for some hundreds of years after the death of Christ. It even continued in the United States.
Can you imagine
for a long time,
if he had actually
other countries.
If he had actually condemned it in his book as opposed to just letting it ride? Could you imagine?
That's a very good question. Why he didn't condemn slavery? It's a very good question.
Another good question.
I can't answer it.
Okay, good answer. I appreciate that.
Okay.
In Deuteronomy 22, verse 25 through 29, he makes women marry their rapists. This is another thing I don't understand. Why doesn't he condemn rape? Why does he give them laws about what to do with rape? Why not say, hey, rape is a bad thing?
I'd have to look at it. I'd have to look at it to comment on it.
Yeah.
It's whatever you're saying. It's a great mystery. Well, let me ask you this. Can I ask you this question?
Sure.
Why did God make a flood that killed the entire habitat Earth? Why did he kill all those people?
Because he regret making people.
Do you think God? That's what he wants to do. He wants to drown people.
Well, he drowns people, he starves children to death, he sends bears to tear children apart, and judges. I think it's judges. But regardless, that doesn't sound anything like a loving deity or anybody that wants me to worship him. That sounds like a monster who just kills people because
that's whole
for
point.
Many different reasons, but none of the reasons make any sense.
What about judges where the some of the judges in. Would Deborah put Princeton kind of a stick in somebody's head or something? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It was in judges.
Yeah. All kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah.
What do you think about God sending his people who had the covenant with the Jewish people into Palestine to get rid of all the Canaanites from their own place? What do you think of that?
Probably not a good idea to take someone else's land. No. Israel, you know, is pretty good at that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did he do that?
I don't know. Why did he do half the stuff? Doesn't make any sense.
Why did he want to push the Canaanites out of the picture?
Why does he think that land is so awesome?
Look, I'm asking you a question, Mike. Why,
I don't
why
know.
Did he
I
get,
don't
why
know.
Do you want to get rid of all the Canaanites?
I don't know why.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh.
Why didn't he send Abraham or whoever? You know, I mean, I don't remember who went into Canaan. Why didn't he give them a place where that was not inhabited, so there wouldn't be a problem?
That's a great idea. Why not make a whole planet where they could just live on, where there's nobody else for them?
Well, that's it. Give them a place where you didn't have to kill. Did they kill a lot of Canaanites? Well, a lot of Canaanites killed, weren't they, in the Battle of Jericho?
Oh, I'm sure.
They deserve that? Think they deserve that?
I don't think anybody deserves death, really.
Well, anyway, it's an interesting conversation.
It is, yeah. I mean, why did Yahweh send Abraham to kill his son Isaac when he knew his heart to begin with?
That's a good point.
Why send him off to slaughter his own son? Why see if he's that loyal? I mean, that's a disgusting...
They say it was a test or something.
Yeah, that's a disgusting test, man. He doesn't need to test him.
It was a test of it. He didn't do it. He stopped him at the last minute.
Right, but he doesn't need to test the man. He knows his heart. He knows everything. He knows the hairs on
your
head.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So why the disgusting test of slaughtering your son? It just doesn't make any sense.
But he stopped him at the last minute, Mike.
Oh, well, that doesn't... Still, he told him to kill his son. You know how many people have killed their children after God told them to?
Well... You know, like I said, man, the ways of God's mind are extremely mysterious.
Extremely mysterious. Extremely. I mean,
well, let me ask you this: Why would a merciful, loving God, if you believe this, if you don't, it's fine, you know, but why would He send people to hell?
That's another great question. Why would you torture for eternity for being, as Revelations 21:8 says, a liar? You get to torture for eternity for being a liar or unbeliever.
Why would he send people to this horrible place?
That is not a loving act.
No, it isn't. Is it?
No, it is not. And that is not a loving deity.
Why does he do it?
There's no clue. No clue. It sounds like a monstrous act to do, though, to send somebody to a lake of fire to burn forever for unbelieving,
it's
for not loving him, or for being a liar.
Yeah. It's eternal. That's the trick of it.
Do you think it doesn't end? Do you think that's just?
Is that good? You think it's fair? So we can punish people. We put them in jail. Uh-huh. Whatever. It's not forever.
Right.
Maybe it's for life. But in this situation, God sends people to this place for eternity.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty bad, isn't it?
That's terrible. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Like I say. All right.
So if let's go back to the slavery and the rape part that's not condemned. If monotheism was such a huge change for these people because everybody was polytheistic, slavery and not raping people would not have been a radical idea. It would have been pretty simple. I mean, if you've already got monotheism, which is huge, one more step in saying, hey, we shouldn't keep people would be a loving thing to do, I think.
Right.
Yeah, or not raping people, or not having a woman marry her rapist. Oh, that's a horrible thing. I can't even imagine. You must now marry the man who raped you. And you have to be subservient to him, because Yahweh wants the men to rule over you.
Well, you know, the whole point is, these kind of things date from a time... Mm-hmm. I don't know why God would make these kind of laws. They date from a time when there was a male dominant society.
Right. So Yahweh decided to keep it that way.
For a period of time. I think we have improved in that respect.
We have. Yahweh has not.
Maybe I hope he doesn't entertain those same thoughts. Maybe he does. I don't know.
Maybe he should change his book then. Your little editing is in order then.
Right. Okay.
I guess the next set of questions I have would come from those Levitical laws back in Leviticus.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just very curious, in Leviticus 15, 19 through 31, Yahweh goes on a big explanation how a woman's natural monthly cycle could infect an entire town full of cooties, so that they all have to apologize to him at the end by killing doves or pigeons. I'm just curious why Yahweh, the one who gave women this natural period, fails to know that it's not actually spreadable by touch.
Can't answer it, Mike. I wish I could.
Okay. Well.
Those kind of ritual laws, that whole list of ritual requirements, is there are so many, many, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's only in Leviticus 19, only in 19, where that ritual requirement has reference to homosexual acts. One sentence in a huge list of ritual laws.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It also says that if a female gives birth to a male, she's unclean longer. In Leviticus 12, and it says that she's unclean longer if she gives birth to a female than if she gives birth to a male, which is so weird. And then, even at the end of it, because she has bled from her vagina, she has to kill things to Yahweh as an apology for bleeding from her female parts. And I just don't see
really, I wish I could answer these questions.
Does that sound like
the only thing I can say is that that's the way things worked then, for some reason, or God wanted them to work.
Does that sound like an all-knowing deity or somebody who created women?
It's something that's very difficult to answer these questions.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got some tough ones. Well, I appreciate you trying, at least.
Right.
Well, I guess just one more.
Okay.
I was curious why he was so concerned about his own greatness.
I mean, who?
Yahweh. Why is Yahweh so concerned about his own greatness? In Malachi 1:11, my name will be great among the nations. In Exodus 9:16, he raises up Pharaoh so that his name will be proclaimed in all the earth. Malachi 2:2, honor my name or I will curse you. He's so concerned about his own glorification and his own honor, like, honor my Sabbath day or I'll stone you to death or get you stoned to death, whatever. So why is he so concerned with his own greatness?
I don't know.
Oh.
It's a good question as to why God would have an ego.
Right, yeah. He's got quite the ego. I mean, there's a lot of it in here. So
but again, then again, it's true that isn't every human... Let me ask you this question since you're reaching sort of the conclusion of this. I've been around a while, and so have you. Most people, when you get down to the nitty gritty with them, probably think they're great.
No, I think that's where a lot of the depression comes in. Is people just don't
think they're pretty good. Most people don't think they're bad.
Yeah, well, iffy on that one.
You don't think most people think they're great?
No, I don't think most people think they're great. I've met a lot of people, and most people don't think they're great. Some people, indeed, think they're awesome for no reason. I will agree with you on that. But I wouldn't go the most route. I'd go some.
But do you think most people are not prepared to face up to maybe their faults?
Yes, I would agree with that. A lot of people don't like being wrong, and it's difficult for them to accept that.
And they don't want to, they don't want to deal with it, right?
Correct. And they will either lash out irrationally or...
Yeah, angry, usually. Yeah. If you confront a person and criticize them, they get angry, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I guess that's about it.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you being on the show today. I appreciate you answering my questions.
I couldn't answer them, but I'm going to try to look at those passages in the Bible and try to figure out an answer by giving some real thought.
Awesome.
Yeah, you raised some issues, some very valid issues, and I can always learn from somebody else, including you, so I'm going to check into these things.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your time.
No problem, bud.
Bye. Awesome. I just had a few Bible-related questions I was hoping a pastor could help me out with.
I can definitely try.
All right. Going through Genesis and going through the curses that were given to the three beings that were at the garden, the man, the woman, and the snake. And it says that the snake will crawl on his belly and he will eat dust all the days of his life. Well, the snakes don't eat dust. And then it says that women will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. This is Genesis 3. And it says you'll give pain in childbirth, but we found a way around that. We give epidurals, and there's, you know, meds for that. And then Adam, because you listened to your wife, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it. Well, we go to grocery stores, and we have farm equipment now. So which these curses really aren't forever, because we've already found a few ways around them. And then started off, snakes don't eat dust. So I'm just curious where the effectiveness of these curses are. How effective can they possibly be?
I mean, I would say that they're still effective today.
Hmm.
You know, we still have to deal with those things. It's not like they just went away.
I don't have to deal with it. I go to the grocery store, and then the farmers make the food for me. And they don't even do much work, really. They have machines that do most of the work for them. So, I mean, we don't even toil in the ground anymore for our food. And women don't have to go through childbirth. Most of them don't. Most of them just get pain meds. So Yahweh's curses aren't really effective in that manner. And then the snake, which is supposed to be Satan... first off, Satan would have been the one cursed, so Satan doesn't eat dirt and he has legs. Snakes also don't eat dirt, though, so these aren't really effective curses. I mean, if you're going to curse
ultimately,
somebody, you know,
the curses aren't the big thing that came from that. The big thing that came from that is that every single person is now born with sin nature.
Wow.
Sin entered the world then. The curses are something that were a... right then and there, because of this, this is now happening.
Mm.
You will experience pain in your childbirth. But now we have sins in the world.
Gotcha. So, regardless of this curse, Yahweh knew it eventually down the line that we would be able to circumvent or get around these things?
I mean, when you say get around, even if a woman takes an epidural...
Uh-huh.
Childbirth is still a painful thing.
Not if you have an epidural. You can't really feel anything once you have the epidural. That's the whole point. So you don't feel the pain.
But childbirth in general is still, even, you know, before you're having the baby, you're having contraction. There's pain before that.
Right.
You know, we don't have everything figured out. And even, you know, with them, you know, you being able to go to a grocery store and buy your food, well, you still have to work for that food. You're just working for it a different way.
Well, not everybody.
I mean, you have to have some form of money. Either your parents are doing it for you.
Could always steal it.
I mean, you could steal it, but then you're committing sins. And you're
still
working.
But you're already full of sin anyway, so, you know, what's one more sin to eat? To survive, you know? I think Yahweh would forgive that one if you need to survive. I'm sure he'll be like, oh, okay, well, you were going to die if you didn't eat. So, I don't know. Jacob and Esau, he didn't really care about Esau, so maybe not. I guess not, huh?
No, I think that he cares about every sin, including that, and I think that if you're in a place where you can't afford food, that he's going to provide a way somehow.
Right. There's a grocery store. Walk in, you grab it, and you're good to go. If I steal food, I should get eternal punishment?
What? Where are you coming at it asking these questions? Because it sounds like you have a direction that you're trying to head here.
I have no direction, just lots of questions.
I don't think that, you know, it's okay to steal, period, even if you're absolutely starving in food. But that's also where the rest of the church is supposed to come alongside and help out. You know, we're told that we're supposed to help people, help the ones that can't help themselves.
Mm-hmm. You can't help all of them, though. They're just a small little community. You can't get all of
yes,
them.
Yes, but there's a lot of us.
So if somebody's like, starving to death.
My church.
Yeah, well, you know, if somebody's starving to death and they have to steal to eat, I mean, there's obviously you have to steal to eat if you have no food and you're starving to death and you have no money. So if I stole a Snickers bar to survive and then I ran outside running away from the store and I got run over and died, would I go to hell and burn for eternity for that Snickers bar?
Well, your salvation isn't based upon if you sin right then or not. Your salvation depends upon if you believe in Christ or not. If you believe that he's died and rose from the dead for your sins,
then I can steal as many Snickers bars as I want?
No, that's not the point of it either. If you're doing that, do you truly believe? If you're not even trying to stay away from your sins, if you're just completely giving into them, do you ever believe in Christ in the first place?
Yeah, but I'm starving to death, so I gave into my sin, and then I got run over. Does Yahweh forgive me at some point between death and heaven, or how's that work?
You'll have to face your sins there.
Yeah. So is he going to send me to eternal hell because I stole things? Or even worse, what if I said bad things about the Holy Spirit? He says he's unable to forgive us for that one. Do you think that's a justified punishment, eternal fire and damnation for saying bad things about his ghost, the Holy Ghost?
I truly believe that the only way that you can get in heaven is that you have to believe in Jesus Christ, and you have to believe that he died and rose again. And I think that what you're asking doesn't have to do with the fact if you go to heaven or not.
It has to do with the fact that I could burn forever for saying bad things about somebody. And one person in particular, a ghost. I can say bad things about Yahweh, I can say bad things about Jesus, but as soon as I say bad things about the Holy Ghost, I burn forever. So do you think that's a justified punishment, burning forever for saying bad things about his ghost?
I don't think that if you were truly a saved Christian that you would be saying bad things about the Holy Spirit.
What if before you were a saved Christian or you had a lapse in judgment?
Then if you're truly a saved Christian, I don't think you'd have a lapse in judgment. If you're truly a saved Christian...
Wow.
Once you give your life to Christ, mm-hmm. you're a new creation.
Right.
All sins are forgiven, including that.
But what if you were before that? No, you can't forgive that one. Yahweh specifically says you can't forgive that sin. But what if I am not a Christian beforehand, never heard of Jesus, all I heard about is this Holy Ghost guy, and I start cursing him, and then all of a sudden
you're getting into
a
lot of what ifs.
Right.
That
Yahweh's going to kill me and torture me forever if I say bad things about his ghost. I want to make sure.
I'm sorry.
Because I've said bad things.
This is not an edifying conversation. You're asking questions because you want to argue about it, and I can tell that.
You can't answer questions?
Are
you unable to defend your faith, sir? Are you unable to defend your faith?
This is not an edifying conversation.
So? You just only have edifying conversations? Yes. That's all the podcast there is for today. Thanks for listening. I've been thinking about doing a Q&A episode, but I'm going to let you decide if this is something you would like to hear. If I receive enough questions or comments, then I'll put together an episode where I will answer your questions on air. Would you kindly send all of your questions or comments to bswthepodcast@gmail.com. That's bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And if you enjoyed the show and want to help us keep the recording light on, then stop by the Patreon page today at patreon.com/bswthepodcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show for as little as $1 an episode. Patrons will get access to patron-only content such as bloopers and unaired clips. As always, you can find us on the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. And whether you listen to us on iTunes, Android, or YouTube, you can help others find the show and let us know how we are doing by giving us a rating and or a comment. While you're there, don't forget to push that subscribe button so you won't miss out on next week's episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them?